You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of the show is brought to you by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. In this segment of the program, presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. And this segment of the program, also presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. More information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of New Hampshire primary interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. And interviews on the campaign trail presented by New Futures. Advocate is a verb. For more information, check out new-futures.org. Earlier today, I sat down with Amy Klobuchar, Democratic candidate for president and U.S. Senator from Minnesota, after her event downtown in Peterborough, as she spoke with about 100 voters, I would say, about key issues of the day. Her candidacy, laid out her background and her reason and rationale for running for president of the United States, and I sat down with her a short time after that. I'm going to be joined on the program by Amy Klobuchar as we go down on the campaign trail to Peterborough, New Hampshire. And in our first interview here, I just wanted to kind of gauge your background and kind of the decision-making that went into deciding to run for president of the United States. And listening to you speak, a strong middle-class background, one in which you've had to kind of scratch and claw and be gritty in order to get everything that you've got during the course of your life, which I think resonates well here. So how do you think that that type of background benefits you in running for president and serving as president?
You want someone in the White House that actually has the back of everyday citizens, including people in New Hampshire. And I'm someone that announced my candidacy in the middle of a blizzard, and we didn't know that was going to happen till the day before, but I thought, well, that's what life has given us, and we're going to go forward. We're not going to move it inside. And I think a lot of people in New Hampshire would have made the same decision. And I also announced in the middle of the Mississippi River in an island, and I did that because I wanted to make the point that we were right there. And we need to bridge the river of our divides to get to a higher place in our politics. And so my background, the granddaughter of an iron ore miner and the daughter of a newspaper man and a teacher who taught second grade until she was 70, the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate from the state of Minnesota, and a candidate for president, means that people should be able to attain their dreams in America, no matter where they come from. And I see that kind of grit in Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan, your great two senators from Minnesota. We're one of only a few states that have two women, by the way, something you should be proud of in New Hampshire, where they are independent-minded. They work so hard for their states, but in the end, they see their role as twofold. One is to advocate, but it's also to govern. And maybe that comes from being in charge of things. They ran a state, and I ran a DA's office with over 400 people. And you knew that in the end, you're responsible for what happened. And I just don't see that kind of responsibility right now in the White House. It's chaos, and I think we should be governing from opportunity.
You talked a lot about working across the aisle. And in Republican Party and Democratic Party, it seems like the fringe has kind of taken over control, and working across the aisle, working with Republicans, is to some extent frowned upon, while obviously the most of the individuals in the country are in the middle, perhaps not as loud, but are still in the middle. Do you feel that there is an issue that exists with working across the aisle, and is that almost something that doesn't resonate with people now?
Well, I hope it does, or, the country's going to be in tough shape if we are at a point where we think we just spend every second in the opposite corners of the boxing ring instead of standing next to someone. I literally think that courage is not whether you're in there making a speech by yourself at midnight in the Senate. Courage is whether or not you're willing to stand next to someone you don't always agree with for the betterment of this country. And I have tried to focus on these bread and butter issues in this campaign while also talking about the major challenges in front of us. Infrastructure. I was in Manchester talking about commuter rail, and it literally that your area of New Hampshire, I learned, has the most people for an area not served by commuter rail in the country. So there's an example. When you need workers and you want people to come up for tourism purposes and other things. And that includes roads and bridges and crumbling schools, issues all over the country when it comes to infrastructure. You also have the challenge of climate change, which you can uniquely see here in New Hampshire with your northern climate, but also with the some of the coastal areas and the challenges that we have there. We have the challenge of workforce and getting kids trained for the jobs we have available now. I was over at the college in Manchester talking about the work that's being done to get new tech jobs into the area and how important that is. You just want to keep changing and making sure we're ready for the jobs that are there now. We've got needs for construction workers throughout our country, and those jobs are well paying, but we've got to convince parents and schools that that's something, instead of kids just going off the grid, that that's something they can do. They can do it for their whole life. They can do it for a while, but we've lost the dignity of those jobs in terms of not the workers who are really working hard, but sometimes how people talk about it. I see many paths to success. My own sister didn't graduate from high school. She later got a GED and then a two-year degree and then a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. So we've got to uphold the value of all these jobs.
Are you the most real person in this race, in your view? Because no, you know,
they're all real. They're all.
I understand
real.
That, but there's individuals that are tremendous orators. They have long histories, such as Senator Sanders and Vice President Biden, who's getting into the race later this week, as expected. But you are telling a story that exists in most. Around most kitchen tables or living rooms in the country. You know, the sister that, went on a different path and didn't make it through high school and then mm-hmm. found her way afterwards. The father who was an alcoholic. Your career, as I mentioned, is one of rising and scratching and clawing to get what you have. Do you feel that you're able to relate better to people, understand what their struggles may be as a result of your path than perhaps your other opponents?
No, I'm not going to talk about the other opponents because they've all had a share of things happen in their own lives. But for me, my own life has guided me to where I am. And it makes me understand. So why did I put out that idea for how you can save money if you're in a job that doesn't have a 401k? Well, because I saw my grandpa, if he didn't have those savings that he put in his little coffee can to send my dad to college, I wouldn't be here today. So I do think when you have things that are challenges, I wrote in my book, the obstacles are the path, right? Mm-hmm. So the obstacles are the path. When you don't just see them as obstacles, you actually see them as a path in your life where you learn things from every single thing. If my dad didn't struggle with alcoholism, I wouldn't be able to understand the need to do something, I think, as in my heart, not just on paper, mm-hmm. about the opioid epidemic. And that's why I've joined with Gene and Maggie to take that on, because we've seen it as well. If I'd been in this really easy atmosphere where everyone said, oh, maybe one day you can be president, when I'm growing up in high school, instead of when I was in high school, you wanted to marry your high school prom date and get a tan and, have long straight hair. Okay, that's the truth. But that made me understand different mentalities and how things were unfair for expectations for women. And it puts me in a better place to advocate for policies that are going to help them. So you go through things that have happened in my life. I wouldn't be able to have the empathy for people in our country the way I do if I hadn't gone through what I went through.
It's Amy Klobuchar joining us here on the campaign trail. I was reading and watching some of your comments in regards to the Mueller investigation and Attorney General Barr. And it seems that, in your view, from what you've read, this does not rise to the level of impeachment, that there may be other things that come forth throughout the testimony of the special counsel or other investigations, but what is indicated in this report does not rise to the level of impeachment. Is that fair?
No, I don't. I'm simply saying that in the Senate, we're the jury, and there are some really bad things in this. This is going to be the decision of the House about whether they go forward or not. I'm sure that's one of the reasons they want to have further investigations and further hearings so they can get to the bottom of some of the things, because we haven't even been able to ask Mueller. So I don't. I am not saying it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. I'm saying that in the Senate, we're supposed to be the jury to determine if the House brings an impeachment proceeding, whether or not we find that the president should be impeached. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I believe, is that you need to have Mueller come before the Senate and the House so we can get our questions answered. The third thing is you got to let these investigations go on and not be impeded by Attorney General Barr. Remember, some of the investigations going on are state in New York. Those are harder for him to impede. Mm-hmm. But some of them are federal investigations, and those have to be allowed to move forward. And in his report, Mueller actually lays out two ways that this should proceed. One is through Congress, and at the very least, we need to do these investigations. But the other thing is through these investigations and what could happen when the president leaves office. Well, I would add a third.
Okay.
The third is that we beat him in the election, and I'm the person to do it.
But you would not vote to convict if...
Oh, I am simply not weighing in. Okay. I'm supposed to be the jury. When I was a prosecutor, I always said you look at the evidence and you make a decision. So I believe that you have to let the House make the decision about whether or not they go forward with impeachment. I'm sure that's part of why they want to have these investigatory hearings and get all the background information. And then we decide in the Senate.
I want to conclude on infrastructure because this is an important issue, I think, for rural America. I was driving down from Concord to Peterborough, and you see the effects of rural America. In Antrim, there used to be a mill, and it's now an office building. The Monadnock paper mill is still going strong, but you see the need for rural infrastructure. And the president promised this, amongst many other things, including that we're so rich we weren't going to need Social Security, so we'd have to worry about that. But he promised an infrastructure plan, and did not deliver on that to rural America, which is an area where he had a lot of success. So both from a political and also from a policy standpoint, it seems that having a campaign based on infrastructure and going to small towns in Iowa, New Hampshire, and other places like you're doing would be one that's successful. Would that be your biggest priority, would be infrastructure?
Well, it's my first rollout. I think when you get out there and talk to people, you know, their number one concern is health care and mm-hmm. the cost of prescription drugs and that the fact that they're going up so quickly. So there's a lot of things people are worried about. They tend to be issues about how they're going to pay for things. I'd put that as number one. Mm-hmm. But infrastructure, I thought, was being neglected in the discussion. And it's a problem in urban, and it's a problem in mm-hmm. rural. And how can you have something that major that the president promised he was going to do that we're not even talking about? And it's something I deeply care about because I live just a mile away from that 35W bridge. So I would put it as my top priorities, one that I seized the day on because no one else was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what's going on here? This is something that bothers people every day when they're in traffic jams or when they can't get to a job or there's no way for a person without a car to get up to Manchester to work somewhere and no way for tourists that just want to see that area of Concord and Manchester to get their way around unless they drive all the way from Washington, D.C. That doesn't make sense to me. And so that's why I led with that policy proposal because I think it's so lacking right now in the discussion.
Senator Klobuchar, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That is Amy Klobuchar. This is New Hampshire Now, 189, 1450, and nhtalkradio.com. Interviews on the campaign trail presented by New Futures and New Hampshire primary interviews brought to you by Rath, Young, and Pignatelli. Much more still to come here on New Hampshire Now, but first want to let you know this hour of the program presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health, and that segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.